The first annual Tennessee Williams Festival in St. Louis kicks off tomorrow. The legendary playwright lived in St. Louis as a young man, a city he quite famously said he hated. His plays, A Streetcar Named Desire and The Glass Menagerie, and many others, are world-renowned. Contributor Steve Potter has the story of how, 33 years after his death, Williams' work will now be honored here in the city of his youth.
The Tennessee Williams Festival runs for 5 days with productions, movies, music. Carrie Houck is the festival's executive artistic director, and Henry Chavez is a writer and director. Welcome to you both.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joining us on the phone is Brian Holfeld, who's directing a Williams play for the festival, too. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Carrie, do you consider yourself an official mummer?
Oh, well, unofficial, I suppose. I like that I've unearthed the theater where they've performed.
We need to explain what that is.
I had heard there was a theater in the Central West End where Tennessee Williams, the company that he performed with, the Mummers, worked in the late 30s. And I found the woman who was running it, Emily Richard, and she was running it as an educational center called the Learning Center. And it was formerly the Wednesday Club. And when Tennessee Williams worked there, that's what it was. And she liked the idea of maybe us using it for Stairs to the Roof.
Which is a play you did about a year and a half
ago. A year and a half ago, a Williams play that I produced in October of 2014. So we talked for about 4 months about it, and she loved Williams and loved the idea of it. And when push came to shove, she was a little nervous about opening at that time. But now time has passed. Stairs to the Roof was very successful. And I think I proved myself with her board, and sadly, Emily passed about a month ago and won't be here to see the inaugural Williams Festival performed under that roof. But it's quite thrilling that we will be on that stage for our first festival.
And Henry, you've spent a good part of your career as, a student of Williams, and I know you lecture about him.
Yes. I teach at Washington University in the Performing Arts Department, and ever since I came to Washington U in 1987, actually, I've been aware of the Williams connection, and it's an extraordinary one. And the connection with the Mummers actually predates Williams' interest and attendance at Washington University. It's the years 1936-37. It was tremendously influential. Very few people realize how important it was in terms of making him the playwright he actually was. But yes, I've directed Williams and written about him.
And Brian Holfeld, I'm mostly familiar with you through your film work, but you're directing a Williams piece in the festival, so what's your connection to the playwright?
I'm directing two one-acts. One is part of the St. Louis Rooming House plays, another is being done in a different venue. And mostly my connection is through Carrie, who I've known for many, many years, and we've worked together on a lot of projects. And she asked me if I'd like to be part of the festival as a director, because she knows I love to work with actors. And I jumped at the chance. It's been a long time since I've directed on stage, but I really love doing it. So I was grateful for the opportunity, and it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great diving into these plays that not a lot of people are aware of, and finding the meat that's in them and finding the surprises that are in them, and it's been really great. Hmm.
Carrie, you mentioned your production of Stairs on the Roof a couple of minutes ago. Is that when the idea for this festival began?
Well, I found the play. A student brought me the play about a year before I got the money to produce it, and the play was so quintessentially St. Louis, and to me, some might argue with me about this, I think it was, in a way, a love letter to St. Louis, depending on your point of view. But I at that time, I really realized that there was a hole. And New Orleans had been doing a festival for close to 30 years. Now they have celebrated their 30th. Provincetown, 10 years. And I never quite understood why we didn't have one here, because I believe his years here, and Henry, 19, correct?
Yes. Yes. Well, actually, you know, the family moved here in at least 19, but living here. Go ahead.
Well, I just felt that I've always felt that St. Louis, whether or not he loved the city or not, it informed so much of his work. And I thought it was important for us to preserve his legacy here as, in my opinion, America's greatest playwright.
When you say whether he loved the city or not, you're referring to the fact that he'd been known to say a few things that weren't that kind about his time here.
Yes, but I think that Henry would agree with this, that he didn't really love his situation in the city. There were many factors at play.
He was young. When exactly did he live here?
Well, the family moved here in 1918 when he was about 7 years old. And he remained here basically until he left for New Orleans in 1939. To say he didn't like St. Louis, I think that we should assume that he did hate it. But that doesn't necessarily – I think that we confuse hatred with lack of connection. Williams was deeply connected to St. Louis, and the fact of whether he liked it or didn't like it is not irrelevant, but it's a more complicated picture than like or dislike. The fact that we hate some place where we grew up – I grew up in New York City. I hate it, but it's part of who I am. And I think that we have to understand that Williams was deeply – that the fabric of St. Louis, even as he resisted it, was something essential to his writing and to his character. And I think Carrie's right about Stairs to the Roof. It was a love letter. It was also a farewell letter to St. Louis. But the specificity with which he alludes to St. Louis, monuments, Forest Park, and the zoo, and so forth, indicate how much a part of his being they were. So, yeah, he didn't like it here, but he had a lot of reasons not to like it.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you've heard what Carrie and Henry have to say. Have you been a student of Tennessee Williams? Does any of this matter to you?
I got to hear Williams speak shortly, a few years before he died. When I was a student at St. Louis University, he appeared at Washington University, did a reading at Graham Chapel, and I snuck out of – I skipped classes at St. Louis U to go over to Graham Chapel to hear him talk, and it was really – I still remember it. It was just a great – I remember he was up on the podium, and it was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and he had a bottle of wine that he was pouring and drinking as he spoke.
That sounds about right.
It was – so, yeah, I've always been a fan of Williams. Of course, his better-known plays, you know, you can't be in the theater and not know them and not be affected by them. And I also can relate just the whole idea of St. Louis and sort of how I happen to love St. Louis still – but I know that it makes perfect sense as to what Henry and Carrie are saying about how it really does inform his work. And I think in a way he probably didn't even realize, because it is unusual, you know, when you sit down to write a play, even if it is, you know, semi-autobiographical, it's unusual for a playwright to be so specific like that, as Henry mentioned. To mention all those places, it's great because it makes it so specific, but at the same time, it Stairs to the Roof has a real universal theme that comes out in the specificity of it.
Before we talk more about the festival, I'd sort of like to hear the three of you sort of put in perspective Tennessee Williams' influence and impact today.
For me, one of my attractions to Williams is his need to be an individual and for the world to treat individuals kindly.
I would certainly agree with that. William, there isn't a single playwright of the 20th century, of the late 20th century, early 21st century, who wasn't in some way influenced by Tennessee Williams. I agree with Carrie that he is the most important American playwright whoever wrote. He was a compulsive writer. He wrote all the time. And his works are really vast. In terms of the impact, I think that the idea of the fugitive kind. Williams writes about the dispossessed. He writes about people who are lonely. He writes about the qualities that we associate with modern life and being a contemporary person. And Williams is in some ways the connective tissue that allows us to remember how fragile people are, how delicate people are, and not just the people like Blanche who step over the edge, but I think he's increased our humanity in the widest sense. And I think also, of course, being a gay playwright, he's made us more aware of how that kind of outsider status intersects with issues of sexuality.
Brian, talk about the plays that you're directing, and there's a gentleman by the name of David Kaplan that's figuring pretty prominently in this festival, so maybe you could explain that.
David is overseeing the St. Louis Rooming House plays. He's done this before at other festivals, and it's kind of being part director and part traffic coordinator. he figures out the audience travels from room to room watching the one act. So,
but there are four audiences who are moving around at the same time through four plays.
Mm-hmm. Right. So within the course of the evening, this one group will see all four plays. They're each set in a specific room that has to do with the content of the play, and the one I'm directing is called The Pink Bedroom, which is about a man and his mistress who this is the last time they see each other, and it's a fantastic piece of writing. In 12 minutes, it goes from A to Z. You see the entire history of the relationship and the relationship come to an end, all within 12 to 13 minutes. So it's very intense, but it's a great thing for an actor to be able to perform, and I think our actors are having a great time doing it. The other piece is called Perfect Analysis Given by a Parrot, which is very different. It's more lighthearted. There's still the underlying tone of everything Henry and Carrie were just talking about the need to be recognized and about the fragility of human nature. But it's about two spinsters looking for a good time and in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And it's site-specific. It's going to be presented at the Curtain Call Club next to the Fox. It takes place in a bar, so that the people in the bar at the Curtain Club will actually sort of be there in the bar with the characters.
And let's make a point, Carrie, during this five-day festival, performances are at different venues and things.
They're different venues. They each perform about five times. We've made it possible to see every single piece that we're presenting. You could possibly do them in one day, but more probably over a two-day period. And they're all either in Grand Center or in the Central West End. But back to the Rooming House plays and the Parrot play, I pick these plays because they all have a connection to St. Louis. So our theme this year is the St. Louis years, and almost everything we're doing has a St. Louis connection.
Well, let's begin with that. The festival launches on Wednesday, and there's a sort of double St. Louis connection with that event, isn't there?
Oh, Al Hirschfeld.
Yeah.
Well, Al Hirschfeld, and theater people know this, I think more than theater people know this, was a famous caricaturist whose work appeared on the cover of the Arts and Leisure section of the New York Times for many, many years. And there's a wonderful exhibition of his pieces that he did for Williams Plays. And Mary Strauss, who's one of our board members and sponsors, knows the Hirschfeld family quite well, and we were able to get this exhibition for St. Louis, and that's part of our opening night,
mm-hmm.
Along with Jeremy Lawrence, who's one of the biggest interpreters of Williams' work. He does a one-man show. Ours is called What's Next on the Agenda, Mr. Williams, and he'll be performing opening night at the Curtain Call Lounge with a party to follow. His other performances will be at the Kranzberg Studio.
Henry, you talked a little bit earlier about how the playwright felt about St. Louis. Do you know much about how he spent his time here when he was here, you know, friends he had or places he went, or what do we know?
Well, we know actually surprisingly large amount of it. First of all, he came here from the Deep South and had a very in some ways, privileged upbringing. So St. Louis was a kind of represented a deracination for him. It felt Midwestern. His accent was mocked. Most of all, though, I think that it meant living with his parents, which sounds strange because he lived with their grandparents when he was a small child. And so there was a lot of tension in the house. And it was during the time he was in St. Louis that his sister, Rose, started to display signs of mental illness, and that impacted his time here tremendously. Imagine the person that you're closest to in the world being taken away to a mental hospital. So that was tremendously powerful. He also, since he had flunked out of University of Missouri, Columbia, he was put to work in the International Shoe Company, and that really provides the scenario For Stairs to the Roof, which we've addressed already. So it depicts the kind of unhappiness during those years.
Carrie mentioned that specific stage that he performed on. Are there any other locations in St. Louis that where we could walk to and look around and know that he'd been there?
Many. I mean, one favorite of mine is the Jewel Box, where Laura Wingfield goes to, instead of studying at the Rubicam's Business Center in Glass Menagerie. But the city is literally filled with instances. Forest Park figures primarily. He mentions Famous Bar. Carrie, help me out here, O'Brien. There
well,
are many.
In the Rooming House plays, there are references galore.
Oh, yeah, the Muni and
the Coronado, the Elephant Room, production. Which
Can you throw a little light on that, Brian?
The Parrot play is set in a dive bar. They don't say name it, but within the course of the play, they talk about going to all the different hotels, the Statler and the Jefferson, which is still on market. And in the other play, they talk about the Muni, that one of the characters has been in the chorus at the Muni.
Another one, the girl is on tour and they're playing at the American Theater.
And isn't there a midnight boat ride, Dalton, Illinois?
Yes, it's alluded to. That's where Jim O'Connor is going at the end of Glass Menagerie. He's referring to that with his fiancée precisely. Yes.
And also his fiancée, Betty, in the Glass Menagerie, has spent the day in Centralia. And there's a new play that John Guare adapted called You Lied to Me About Centralia. And we hope to get it this year, but we weren't able to, but we're shooting for that.
Brian, before we run out of time, I'd like to ask you about your change in working from film, going back to stage, and the work of Tennessee Williams. Has any of that been specifically or especially challenging for you?
A little bit. I really love Williams. Sometimes I think he's a little too deep for me. So it's been great to be able to collaborate with Carrie and with David Kaplan. I've learned a lot throughout this process, even more about Williams than I knew, and kind of been able to see that there are a lot more sides to Williams than you get through his even his major works have a lot of variety, but the one acts really show a lot of different sides of Williams that people might not be familiar with.
The more I hear the three of you talk about it, the more amazed I am there hasn't been a Williams Festival here yet.
Well, I was at a Williams Festival at a conference celebrating the centenary of his birth in 2011. And it was astonishing to me that there was nothing here in St. Louis. And I think the tremendous kudos go to Carrie for making this happen. It really requires a kind of force of nature to make it go. And St. Louis should be involved. As I said, he lived here much longer than he ever lived in New Orleans or Provincetown. And yet we have very, very little awareness, I think, of how connected he was with this city.
And in addition to these productions that we've talked about and some that we haven't, there are going to be one-actor performances. There's going to be a music element, a bus tour, all sorts of things.
The bus tour will visit those very sites that Henry was talking about and others. He had a number of residences here because his mother was always wanting to trade up.
and there were nine homes in St. Louis that they lived in.
Yeah, really. And it will culminate at the gravesite. We've incorporated music into many of the one-act plays, the Parrot play and the Rooming House plays, live music. One of my favorite events is Saturday night, which is the Tennessee Williams tribute. I didn't go to the Stars. I went much further, which will perform at the Mummers Theater at the former Wednesday Club. And it's St. Louis actors reading letters, the essays. The essays are beautiful, poetry, monologues, and there's a music component there too. Quickly, Francesca Williams, who was Tennessee's niece, Dakin, his brother's daughter, is presenting an evening of the family letters that she's recently unearthed, and that will be on Friday night early in the evening. And then if people want to stay for the two-character play, it's at the same venue. There's plenty. I mean, as you can see, there's just so much. But I would hope that people make a weekend of it.
Hey, Brian, in addition to the things that you're working on, is there another element of this festival that you're interested in?
I want to see everything. I look at the schedule and I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to see that. And then I'm thinking, hey, I can. So I'm very excited about coming as a viewer as well.
For most of us, we know certain Tennessee Williams works like The Glass Menagerie. Are there plays that he did or elements to his work that we don't know about might surprise us?
Many St. Louisans are familiar with The Glass Menagerie and Streetcar, but the festival is bringing together a number of works that really show the versatility and the range of Tennessee Williams as a playwright. You mentioned the rooming house plays, but there's also the two-character play, a very late play done in the 70s that people won't know. There are panel discussions about his plays. The Glass Menagerie will be performed as well. So I think that it's the festival gives a sense of both the traditional Williams and the Williams that people don't really know about or haven't read in high school or college.
And the panels, to me, are a very important component of the festival because my goal is to make sure that the education continues. I don't think that the Glass Menagerie is even taught in high school anymore, sadly. So our panels are just stellar. Henry's going to be on both of them. We have a Tennessee Williams 101, sort of for people who don't know anything about Tennessee Williams, that Augustin Carrero will be doing. So, you know, the sky's the limit. This is just the beginning, though.
Carrie, do you think that there is anyone listening right now that would not be familiar with that scene with Marlon Brando, that iconic line from A Streetcar Named Desire?
I would hope that everyone is familiar with it. And if they aren't, they're going to have an opportunity because we're screening Streetcar in the Public Media Commons all day Friday.
And what's this contest you're having?
Well, it's the Stella Shouting Contest that was originated in New Orleans, and it's become quite the scene there on the final day of the festival. So we're doing our version here in Strauss Park on Sunday the 15th at 2 p.m., and we have judges who are guests of the festival, and they get the winner gets some cases of Stella Artois, but they must be 21 to win that beer.
That's Carrie Houck, the executive artistic director of the Tennessee Williams Festival, St. Louis. WashU drama and comparative literature professor Henry Chavez, and director, writer, actor, and producer Brian Holfeld. The first annual Tennessee Williams Festival in St. Louis kicks off this Wednesday and runs through Sunday. For a full list of events, we've included a link to the festival's webpage at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. And there's information about Upstream Theater's continuing production of The Glass Menagerie. We also thought we'd have a little fun in advance of Sunday's Stella Shouting Competition in Strauss Park next to Jazz at the Bistro. Here's the original version of actor Marlon Brando performing the famous Stella scene in the 1951 version of the Academy Award-winning film.
Hey, Stella! Hey, Stella!
And here's some of the St. Louis on the Air production staff doing their best.
Hey, Stella!
Okay, good try.
Oh, my. That's St. Louis on the Air contributor, Steve Potter. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.